Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 119. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How you doing, Nate?
Doing good. You don't sound like Todd.
I don't sound like Todd. I tried to do my best Todd impersonation, but I failed.
Yeah, you'll have that.
I know. Todd is sitting pretty over there. No, actually, he's not sitting at all. He is not here right now. He's on vacation.
Vacay.
Right.
Probably well needed.
That's right. They're down in Florida.
Mm-hmm. So they're always well needed.
That's right. Oh my gosh, yeah. For all of us, right? So it's just the two of us.
Yeah, it's a duo.
It is duo. The dynamic duo, right?
We'll try not to ruin this.
You know, we always worry like, oh gosh, how are we going to do this with two of us? But you two have always made it work. Mm-hmm. You and I have always made it work.
I've yet to see how you two.
I know. You know, he and I talked about that. You weren't in here. I think you were eating dinner or getting dinner ready. And he said, you know, we really do need to have Nate someday show us, because he goes, eventually he's going to have surgery or sickness or something happen that, you know, we're going to need. I'm like, you think they're going to be okay with us like breaking into their house? And don't mind us. We're just going to podcast. Don't mind us. Go along with your with your emergency situation. But yes, someday. I hope not, honestly. I hope you never are not part of this, because that would really suck.
Yeah, I'm sure neither of you want to mess with it.
No, not at all. Especially if we have to edit anything. Like, I'm just going to keep that in.
Yeah. It's just going to be horrible.
You're the glue that keeps it all together. You know that. How's your week been?
Pretty good.
Pretty darn good.
Very stressful and fast going at work.
Yeah, you're telling me about that.
But other than that, I mean, it's not bad. Just head on a swivel.
What did I tell you? Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Uh-huh. So you're feeling that the management supervisory stuff.
I'm averaging anywhere stuff. From 10,000 to 15,000 steps a day. So yeah, I'm getting some walking in.
Because you're parking a mile out, right?
Mile out too.
You have to, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, good. I'm glad. And then things are going well at home. So that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. That's always a good thing.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I celebrated my 44th. I slid quietly. I tried to do it quietly, but people knew it was my birthday. And Jenna said, oh, how do you want to celebrate? And I was like, honestly, as off the radar as I possibly can. But I had a nice day. You know, I worked and all that good stuff. But people were very kind to me at work, and a lot of things, you know, a lot of love through Facebook and the Mako, you know, website and all that. Or not website, but Facebook and all that. So I greatly appreciated that. And then we had a real simple evening, and we spent some time with William's team. We went to Dairy Queen, and they celebrated how well they did for their baseball team.
Did they sing you happy birthday?
They wanted to. They made sure to embarrass me. They were joking about it. I'm like, no, guys. I told them, I said, I'm just glad to be, literally glad to be here. So like, nope, just happy birthday is good. They even said, they're like, did you already have your cake? And I'm like, nah, I'm good. So, I did have a cake after though, but we went home, and Jenna, we were going to go out to dinner, but Jenna and I were so tired. We've had a long weekend and week. And so I said, let's stay in. And she's like, so she made us breakfast, which was fantastic. She knows I love that. Mm-hmm. And then she made an angel food cake. One of those that has the really nice yogurt filling and fruit. And it's so good. It kind of melts in your mouth. Mm-hmm. But so we ate that. And then we went to bed before 9 o'clock. And I got a really good night's sleep. So that was, to me, that was the best present.
Yeah. I know.
I needed it.
Every evening I've been staying at the camper most evenings here recently.
In Peru.
As soon as I get up there, I eat dinner and sit down and try to watch a show. And I'm out.
Out, yeah.
And then Rachel's calling me.
Yeah.
Waking me up, which is fine. And, she's like, are you okay? You don't sound right.
I'm like, you're comatose.
I was sleeping. I'm I'm sort of in a daze right now. But then that gets me up, and I get a few things done around the camper, and then try to get to bed at 9.
Yeah. That's good, though. That's really good. Because you're up early. We know that. 4:30, right? Or 3:30.
4 o'clock out there.
Oh,
3
right.
o'clock when I'm here at home.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's a good point. That's not much extra sleep.
No.
Just enough, though, right? Well, Creepies, we're glad you're with us. And since Todd is not here, we do have the show flow notes, scripted, not scripted, right?
Yeah.
So we have divvied up our parts. And
I'm going to do do the first edit. It says Sean to do this part, but I'm going to take this part.
Todd will be okay with that. We agreed on this, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is Todd's dad joke.
To blame Todd? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Do not blame me. All anger and
groans.
Notes go to Todd.
Todd Wart.
I am just reading this verbatim.
You heard it, Todd.
All right. So why is Europe like a frying pan?
Why is Europe like a frying pan?
Because it has grease at the bottom.
Man. I felt like Ed McMahon there for a minute. I don't know, Johnny. Why is Europe like a frying pan? that was horrible.
And
if
you don't know geography, yeah, you probably want to get that.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's hope they do. In other words, yeah, you're probably right. No, that was horribly good, right?
That's, yes.
That goes out to Todd.
I like that. Horribly good.
Horribly good. I'm going to turn it back over to myself because I can do that. It is
allow myself to introduce
myself and my announcements. These are the first part of the announcements, which watch out, Todd. I'm going to do these perfectly. So here I go. We always bring around the fun. We bring the frivolity, because I like to say frivolity. We love the guy time. We love the spooky, the creepy, the unusual and unexplained. But the most important thing that we can do is bring this around to a mental health community. Getting you guys help and getting ourselves help is paramount. So if you need help, please make sure that you're getting it. Don't live on an emotional island. You can call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text to 741-741. If you think you need professional counseling, please don't be afraid to do so. Also, you can visit stopbullying.gov to help you or someone you know who may be experiencing some sort of bullying. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about.
There you go.
Yeah.
Flawless.
You like that?
Yeah.
With a little gurgle at the end. I like it.
I guess I will take this next spot.
Because
it says Nate.
Says Nate, yeah. Nate, colon.
This is our shout-outs and special announcements.
Ooh.
Do you have any shout-outs?
No, not really.
I don't either.
You don't either? So this question mark, question mark, question mark. How about we just shout out to the creepies? We appreciate
shout out
it.
To everybody, yes.
And we are definitely, let's shout out
well,
to
Well, let's shout out to them. Because we just broke 300,000 total listens.
Yep, you're reading my mind.
So there That's you awesome. Go.
So thank you
Perfect
guys for
shout
that.
Out.
Yeah, that will be a little past that, obviously, by the time this drops next week. But the other person I think we should shout out to, rightfully so, is our brother Todd. So since he's not here and he's having some fun, he'll be back by the time this drops. And we'll be doing this again together, the three of us, next week. So, but we miss him, but we know that, like we said, he's got a much, much needed vacation.
Yes. Very much.
So,
on to the special announcements.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is our Keeping It Creepy 2023 live show will be on Saturday, October 7th from 9 to 5. It will be at the Ellis Park train station in Danville, Indiana. Tickets can be purchased for only $15 at the Eventbrite website.
I like website.
Or app. Fiction author and owner of Anatolian Press, Micah Campbell, along with paranormal investigator Aaron Ignatz of Hauntings Across America, will be our special guests. Both have been on our show a couple times apiece. We will have some good food, good music, and some awesome Mako merch for sale. So come out for a night of creeped out fun.
I like it. I'm ready for it already.
Yes.
It's going to be here before we know it. Absolutely.
And then our second announcement is We are trying to nail down our next Mako on location. We have a date scheduled, but I may have a conflict with it. Mm-hmm. So we are going to reassess. But when we do have something completely nailed down, we are going to be at the Randolph County Asylum in Winchester, Indiana. And they also have flashlight tours. And they usually have plenty of tickets for anybody that's interested in going out there.
Did you say flashlights?
Flashlights.
Absolutely.
I'll have my own.
You had me. I was going to say you had me in flashlights.
And when we get this figured out, we hope to see you there. Sean?
With us.
Yeah. Sean, what do you have?
Well, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Even
oh,
it's like,
man. It's like tennis.
I know. You like that? You got a whole 1 second to like take a break. I'm going to turn it over to you so you can give us the topic for tonight.
I would love to.
Can you pronounce it?
If I remember it, I believe it is No Pimming
yes!
Sanatorium.
Yes.
And this is...
My choice.
And, yeah, this is Sean's choice. Choice. Man, my lips are not working.
That's all right.
And this is in where?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Duluth. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Duluth, Minnesota. Yep,
that's right. The reason I heard about this, so we are going to give credit. It is my choice, quote unquote. But we actually had this given to us as a recommendation to talk about when we were at the Indiana State Sanatorium. It's Ryan, and he's a friend of ours that we came into contact with from Twitter. So Ryan and his friend Jeremy were there with us, and he said, I don't know if like I say it as no ming, but no pimming. He said, "You guys ever heard of no pimming?" And I was like, "No." And he said, "It is the sister site of Waverly Hills." So Waverly in Louisville, which we've been to, this is a place very similar, huge. It's a bit different kind of layout, but it looks, you know, reminiscent of Waverly a little bit.
Sort of, yeah.
So, yeah, but it is, it's like the sister or the cousin or whatever in Minnesota. And I was like, oh, we totally got to look this up. And it's got some pretty crazy history. So I'll give a little bit of foundation.
So it's the cousin twice removed?
Cousin twice removed, yeah.
Okay.
The redhead stepchild, right? So this is from Inforum, and it is their news vault. It's called. It says, "Stranger than fiction: No Pimming Sanatorium's history of tuberculosis, ghost hunts, and ownership scandals." Built deep within a wooded area on the outskirts of Duluth, the topography of the area was thought to be optimal for housing and hiding away patients who had contracted tuberculosis. See, I got it out. See, I'm not talking very well either. It says, this shows a wonderful picture of what it looked like back in the day. It says the 40-acre No Pimming Sanatorium campus, which housed tuberculosis patients in the early 1900s on the outskirts of Duluth, was also home to those who worked at the facility. Various structures housed nurses, physicians, and others. And it shows, it shows all those little different houses that are connected, or it looks like they're closely connected to the building. So it says, "The building that once housed the No Pimming Sanatorium is now considered a mecca for those fascinated with paranormal activity. Yet the history of the building itself may be just as terrifying as any ghost story. The building initially served as an answer to the nation's tuberculosis crisis. Built deep within a wooded area on the outskirts of Duluth, the topography of the area was thought to be optimal for housing and hiding away patients who had contracted tuberculosis," which is exactly what it just said above. So I don't know why it repeated that.
Because they wanted to.
Absolutely. So we're going to leave that in.
It transitioned to a nursing home that began in 1950s, and by 1971, it officially became a St. Louis County nursing home, known as the No Pimming Nursing Home. They put a lot of thought in that name,
didn't they? I know they outdid themselves.
Eventually, it shut down. A company called Orison Inc. eventually acquired the property, initially ran tours to raise funds to upgrade the building. However, all tours were shut down due to various fire code violations.
Mm. Naughty, naughty.
Which I don't understand that, because some of these places that we've been to definitely have fire code violations, but yet they're still up and running.
Yep, exactly.
So that's sort of interesting.
Yeah. Well, they said this place is still full of all kind of contagious stuff and asbestos and all that kind of stuff, so you enter at your own risk even now. It says, Nopeming opened its doors in May of 1912, so for the actual TB hospital, providing 50 initial beds to TB patients in Minnesota and surrounding areas who were desperately seeking care and confinement related to the highly contagious and deadly disease. Among one of the 13 sanatoriums in the state, Nopeming eventually housed up to 300 patients at a time. The grounds included quarters for those who worked at the sanatorium, along with special housing, like I said, for children suffering from the disease. So, which is not, that is unlike Waverly, because Waverly, they had different floors, obviously, with the kiddos, had the open concept. The reason they chose where this location is because it was like located where they would get plenty of open air. And I know that was, we talked about that before with Waverly, where that open air, what was it, 12 hours, 10, 12 hours or something like that a day for every day of the year, no matter what the weather was. Well, it gets cold in Minnesota, so I don't know how they, if they did quite as extreme as Waverly did or not, but it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
The one of the, what was I showing you, the Destination Fear group on the Travel Channel, it showed, that was one of the my favorite ones to watch. I watched different groups that investigated and talked about their you know, what they found and their experiences. But they were fun because they went in the dead of winter. And when they went, it was at night. Mm-hmm. And they showed, like, this place is crazy because it was so frozen and everything was, like, sparkling and glittering from the just being iced over. Hmm. And so that made it even, like, it made it really cool, but, like, super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But like the glass and the broken out glass and the walls and everything was in the floors. Everything was just like iced over.
Wow. Yeah. I have here that allegedly that the boiler room located in the main patient building was used to burn the bodies of those who succumbed to tuberculosis. Mm. So I'm sure there's plenty of activity there.
Oh, yeah. It says it was talking about, you were talking about how it had to close down. You know, after being a nursing home, and it said by 2002, county made the decision to close the facility. Just a few years later, though, a new chapter began when the building was purchased by Frank Venice Jr., a Twin Cities businessman now serving prison time for his involvement in Tom Peters' Ponzi scheme. Did you talk about that, or did you read anything?
No,
about
I
that?
Didn't read it.
Yeah, so this has been, that's what they were talking about, that there's been illegal activity there too. So they are trying to, there's a nonprofit group right now hoping to restore the facility, which I hope they do. I mean, I really do. It needs to be renovated and cleaned up a bit for sure. a former TB sanitarium just west of Duluth turned to the tours of deteriorating facility as a fundraising device. So they're helping that a lot of those opening up, just like a lot of places, that they, to use that money to help, you know, rebuild it and get it to in better working order. So it says the house is now in the hands of Orison Inc., which initially ran tours to raise those funds to upgrade the building. However, all tours were shut down to various fire code violations, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. So it's sad, though. It's, so it's, like I said, I watched there, I don't know how much, like I said, and I wonder if COVID had anything to do with that, because some of these videos were talking about those kind of things, like I said, still having asbestos, still having those, you know, the danger areas and stuff like that, that for people. So, cause I'd love to go visit, and I don't know if currently you can or not, but
I have a list of violations.
Ooh, I want to hear.
Lack of power and sprinkler system and cited, structural damage, exposed electrical wiring, and a lack of emergency lights.
Hmm.
And again,
it's, flashlight.
It's supposed to be like no power and scary and messed up. Isn't that the whole point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, we're doing it.
So, yeah.
It's interesting with all the history of TB, and we've talked about that before, and all the sanatoriums, that were built and across the country, you know, and that you could go. I think what would they say? It was Arizona and Colorado were very hot spots.
Uh-huh.
I bet this one was too. Just like I said, they said it was so nicely secluded and by the wooded areas and in nature so that it was with fresh air and that people can get plenty of rest and healthy foods and stuff. That was really, helped people with their tuberculosis and trying to cure it. It said by 1904, there were more than 100 sanatoriums that were built across the country. By 1953, though, with all the nuances, treating TB, the number was close to 839. But it was interesting how much of once they started being able to cure it, how quickly those the sanatoriums were on the decline, and then they were converted into something else or they had to sit empty, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild, and that just adds to the history and the sadness to some of these places as well. So,
mm-hmm.
It says there was asbestos there, lead-based paint, and mold, and it talks about how dangerous it really is to be there, but people still go there and investigate at their own risk all the time. I mean, even that Travel Channel group talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was saying that Nopeming means out in the woods. So that's the actual meaning. And it said that Native Americans would take their sick out in these woods that surrounded this area because it had a healing quality. So I thought that was kind of cool. There was one of the main ghost stories they talked about was a lot of the ghost adventurers and people doing investigations have seen a young girl that explores the upper floors.
Ooh. Yeah, I found a late maintenance worker who is said to haunt the buildings and visit a fourth floor perch billed as suicide balcony. So evidently, there are some suicides off of a balcony.
Mm-hmm.
let's see.
I saw a lot of orbs and shadow figures. They hear noises and screams. There are children just like in Waverly, they talk about, like I said, they see that young girl.
A lot of the same things, as far as orbs and shadows and stuff like that.
There is a lot of, stuff just sitting around just like at Waverly too. Well, Waverly doesn't have as much as the Indiana State Sanatorium. It's kind of like a mix with Indiana State Sanatorium. And then some of the feels of the graffiti and broken out windows and all that kind of stuff of Waverly. So it's a little bit of a mix.
Yeah, I saw where there's some vandalizing going on there and they're trying to combat it. As far as window damage, I saw numbers anywhere from $75,000 to $100,000 worth of damage in just windows. So, yeah, people aren't being too kind with the building itself.
Right. And that's why there's the hope that somebody they'll get enough money to be able to, to make it into its, I don't know about be able to get it back to its old glory, but at least get it in better condition and safer condition too.
Yeah. Get it to where people can at least take tours of it again and actually be inside the building.
A lot of the videos talk about, there's some really good ones out there. Like I said, the Destination Fear was probably my favorite one. But they did talk about the Mother's Day Massacre. It was on the third floor hallway. There's a scene where a patient shot an orderly before turning the gun on himself. And they said that's a very dark area and a kind of a darkness looms there where that happened. But that's really sad. I'm sure there was lots of loss of life between being at a tuberculosis center and then also being a nursing home. I mean, those two things leave a lot of dark energy.
I think some numbers I saw were upwards of 1,000 or 1,200 or...
Or 1,500 or something that over the 90 years that it was in existence. But the
deaths.
Lots of deaths, yeah.
So I finally found this little bit of an article talking about the Destination Fear investigation there. There's four main areas that they really honed in on as far as an investigation. The suicide balcony, which we talked about. The third floor hallway, which we've talked about that too. The basement, we haven't really talked too much on that one. And the crematorium, we haven't really hit on that too much either.
Crematoriums are fun.
But they have a little synopsis of each area while they're there, or a little history of it too. The suicide balcony was so named because desperate patients who couldn't endure the suffering anymore leapt to their death from the balcony. It eventually was fitted with 10-foot-high bars to deter such disturbing and desperate acts.
That's sad.
Yes.
So rather than, you know, die of consumption, basically, or tuberculosis.
And, yeah.
That's really, really sad, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hear that that kind of stuff at Waverly, although Waverly had the... I mean, there was... You could have easily gotten off of that roof.
Yeah, there's... I mean, no windows. I mean, it's just wide open.
Indiana State Sanatorium is the same thing. Yeah. That top building, the psych area, there's zero ledge. Like, you could just run right off of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that would have been something that people, you know, like, I think that's awful. You know, it's like, but they did eventually put up a safeguard for that. But yeah, it's sad that people would have wanted to meet that end instead of taking such a slow death. But it says that tuberculosis was also known as consumption or the white plague. I'd never heard of it called that before. It was all names given to the highly contagious disease. It primarily attacked the lungs. Victims obviously coughed up blood and white phlegm. And it was like that whole idea of consumption just makes it sound like just a slow, painful death. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was even like the bubonic plague or the black plague at least took you normally within at least 3 days to, you know, a week.
Mm-hmm.
But tuberculosis could take months, you know, to finally
sometimes
succumb to.
You would get through it.
Or longer. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So, but still, I don't think I would want that. No, thank you.
The basement is allegedly home to a sinister spirit of a former maintenance man, which I hit on a little earlier. And then people have reported growls and being scratched in the crematorium.
That's spooky.
And then you hit on this with the Mother's Day Massacre. That is the third floor hallway where a patient shot an orderly and then turned the gun on himself.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's definitely some high energy right there.
Yeah. Dark energy.
And then their experiences while they're there, they went to, I believe this one is at the suicide balcony. They had, what do you call them? Spirit box or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they got the word Carol killed.
I saw that one.
They're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And came through twice during their investigation.
Yeah.
So I guess.
It was a direct message, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a suicide balcony for a reason, I suppose. And Carol is probably one of those
victims.
Victims of it, yes. They also had unexplainable noises and sounds of things moving. While they're in the basement, at one point, either a part of the ceiling fell on them or something was thrown at them, which I've seen other talkings about this that they label it as a cinder block thrown at them in some instance. Cinder block's sort of heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know if...
I wouldn't want that thrown at me.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be hit by it.
Can you imagine what threw that, right?
Yeah. That's a lot of energy to be able to move something that big and heavy and loft it through the air at you.
Take like a giant.
And then while they're in the basement, they called it a sleepover. Tanner, one of the investigators, he was laying on the floor. Flashlight was near his foot, but the camera caught it moving on its own. So, yeah.
It's haunted, then, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
It
doesn't seem to be as juicy as Waverly, but it definitely has some things going for it.
All right.
So, yeah, it'd be definitely a let's go check it out.
Oh, my gosh, for sure.
If they allow us to.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I found a little bit on that. It says, Nopeming Sanatorium in Duluth is one of the most haunted buildings in the state of Minnesota. Big shocker there. I mean, that's all I know. We hear those claims all the time. It says, and then they're talking about having ability to go in and do the lock-ins overnight. This was this article talking about it was back in 2019, so I don't know, you know, what the latest greatest is, but it says when they did this, it says it's intriguing and terrifying to learn the stories of those who suffered and died of the terrifying disease of pulmonary tuberculosis. The Nopimming Sanatorium, man, I was going to say it the other way, in Duluth, Minnesota is a beautiful architectural reminder of this period in our past. As featured on the Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures, paranormal investigators and enthusiasts from all over the world have wanted to have a peek inside. But technically, they're only allowing certain ghost hunts. It is, it says, like you were talking about, a lot of the deaths of the sanatorium were due, I'm going to keep doing that, aren't I? due to suicides with patients jumping over upper levels rather than face a slow, painful death from the disease. That's why there are cages over the balconies to stop people from jumping. Those deaths wouldn't be the only thing that you would learn from having overnight adventures. Shadow figures, squeaking chairs, cold spots. You're in Minnesota, though. Disembodied voices and other signs of paranormal activity have all been experienced at the Nopimming Sanatorium. It says, this Ghost Hunts USA, at least at this time, was the only group to be permitted in the location. The rest of the people basically were trespassing. Exclusive overnight access to the sanatorium, psychic mediums, medium vigil, group seances, structured vigils, ghost hunts, and experienced ghost hunting teams, use of equipment, which included trigger objects and EMF meters, private time to explore the location and to undertake the private vigils. And it says that their staff, their ghost hunting staff, would be stationed, I assume, giving like history and different reports of the ghost activity. And of course, they had like refreshments and stuff there, and different snacks that you could have. But at that time, anyway, when they were doing these events, it was $169 a person.
Wow.
So, and it says they were doing overnight adventures every month, May through November. I imagine that any time off of that season might have been a little bit chilly.
Yeah, so definitely.
Yeah, in Minnesota, it gets darn cold. It gets so cold that that freezers freeze, right?
Yeah. I found on the website Only in Your State, the article on that website, Abandoned Sanatorium in Minnesota is Terrifying, and it has an abundance of photos of the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's creepy.
It's torn to holy heck too. I mean, it's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's lots of graffiti. Yeah, there's old beds that are basically broken down. There's medical rooms, which we've seen before. Mm-hmm. All the operating tables and lights and all that kind of stuff. There's hallways that are full of absolute, you know, wheelchairs and tables and gunk, and you know, remnants of the patients and all that kind of stuff.
It definitely looks like you could film a horror movie in this place. No setup required. It is ready.
A zombie apocalypse movie, maybe, right?
Yes.
I found a little bit more information, too, about the murder-suicide. May 12th, 1940, it was the site of a murder-suicide during a Mother's Day celebration. 35-year-old John Wintoniak shot and killed 45-year-old orderly Alex Suffolk. He was shot 5 times, twice in the chest and right arm and once in the stomach. His .32 caliber revolver jammed when he attempted suicide, but after reloading, he successfully killed himself with a shot to the right temple. Some people have reported hearing gunshots before entering the building. On the third floor, main hallway, people hear 3 distinct knocks, but nothing else. The morgue in the basement has so many different reported sounds, shadows, and feelings. Some struggle with being down there. A lot of people have reported that they just couldn't wait to get out of the basement. And they said that this is from the Indian translation. It's Ojibwe phrase that's translated, which means out in the woods. And again, I love that part of the Indian, you know, healing that they actually, that's a very positive part of it, that they took their sick and dying and those that needed medical attention out into the woods to get healings. After some searching, they found out that there's a cemetery that was used close with no pimming. It says it's called the Greenwood Cemetery. Being a pauper cemetery, Greenwood served as a place of rest for folks with no means of proper burial. Those who were unknown or unclaimed, sadly including many children and babies, and TB patients and facilities as such as no pimming. Greenwood itself is only about 5 acres in total area, but from roughly 1890 to 1947, there was a staggering 4,768 burials in the cemetery. Apparently, there are more people interred than recorded burials, meaning that some burial sites included multiple people. So it's kind of sad, not kind of sad, it just is sad that how many people, like we said, with the 90-year history of this place, that there was upwards of 1,500 deaths. So, I mean, that's a lot of death.
I wonder what kind of activity that graveyard has.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure, just like any good activity in a good graveyard, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a haunted city.
For sure.
So that's another place we'd go. So we'd go to No Pimming, and then we'd head to the Greenwood Cemetery, right?
Mm-hmm. Trying to find it.
That's right. Yeah, I was not aware. I've never heard of. I know there's a lot of pauper type cemeteries, and, mm-hmm. and those always have sad stories. But it is, like I said, the amount of lives that pass through here for different reasons. You know, it's not just as a TB sanatorium, but you know, as with the nursing home too. You know, there's a lot of sadness there too and death. But there's also, just like any place, you know, we talk about, you know, there were also positive things that happened too. People did get better and healed mm-hmm. and taken care of. But you know, on the other,
they're not
side.
The ones that, stay around though.
No, I know.
It's all
right.
The tragedies.
Isn't that right? Yeah. The good go up, right?
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I think definitely this is a place, that we would go. So Todd would tell me to write it down. So I already did.
Definitely.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, we'll pack a sleeping bag for Todd. He likes to sleep at these places.
Absolutely. Oh, he would like
so
to.
So he says.
So, yeah, right.
Done it yet.
Not yet. Some of these beds that are like metal springs and everything, I'm pretty sure. Bring your own mattress, right? Or mattress pad, anyway.
Some WD-40.
That's right. But and I also like the fact, the way that it kind of correlates and is similar to some Waverly aspects, some Indiana State Sanatorium aspects. So I would love to see it. I do not want to see it in the dead of winter. I think it was cool that it looked very like sparkly and whatever, but that's got to be really cold.
That'd be brutal.
Yeah. So not so much on the winters in Minnesota. That's a little too much, but
it'd probably be being out in the woods and stuff. Really, really cool to see. Mm-hmm. With the leaves on the trees, and it'd definitely be a sight.
It said that when it first started, it would house up to 300 patients at a time. But like I said, it's also interesting, and I didn't see a lot of the stories about where, you know, the staff that lived on the premises. I wonder if there's a lot of the houses that are haunted or anything like that, but I really didn't find out, but I'd love to investigate those too.
I saw when it first started, they just started with like 50 patients, and then eventually worked their way up to the 300. Again, I found, another show that did a investigation there, the Ghost Adventures. They have their like evidence that they had while doing their investigation. They had an apparition. They said Billy's flashlight dies when he's in the only one in the tunnel. He attempts to turn the light back on, creating a strobe effect. And between the flashes of light, a shadowy figure is captured on the right-hand side of the screen. The lockdown hadn't even begun yet. They're already being watched. So that'd
creepy.
Be pretty wild to go back and watch the footage and
Can
then
you
see
imagine?
A shadow figure. And then they had another apparition using the SLS camera. Zach captures a skeletal figure in a doorway.
Oh, Baggins.
Oh, yeah.
Baggins!
Physical contact. Billy starts to feel an uneasy feeling, and Zach starts to feel it too. Apparition. An orb shoots out of Billy's neck.
Whoa.
Physical contact. Zach starts to feel extreme sadness and pictures of a woman reaching out to him.
Uneasy feelings are always good, right? Mm-hmm. But they're pretty common with Zach Bagans.
Yes. Take what you want from this. Zach,
yeah. Take that with a grain of salt.
They had a spirit box. Mm-hmm. A voice says, help. Another physical contact. Billy feels fingers tapping his elbow at the same time. Help is captured. Another apparition. An orb flows down from the stage area. Equipment malfunction. Camera one blacks out shortly after the orb is captured on it.
Mm.
Other phenomenon. Weird interference is heard on the ultrasonic listening device. Unexplained noises. Door slam three times, and then unexplained noises three times. Apparition again. A light anomaly appears and disappears. EVPs, hello, and I told him.
Ooh.
And then one last physical contact. Zach, Aaron, and Billy all hear laughter.
Maniacal laughing.
So, yeah, I mean, it seems like there's stuff there. Depending on your take on Ghost Adventures.
Right. That's a good point.
What was the other one? Destination?
Fear.
Fear. Mm-hmm. I think, in my opinion, probably a little bit more creditable. But yeah, they had stuff during their investigation too.
Yeah. Maybe not as, yeah, they're not necessarily as sensational. It's TV. Yeah. So they're trying to kind of get your attention and the fear factor and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But it is interesting. I would love to go and check it out for myself.
Oh yeah. It'd still be, I mean, just like, the Indiana State Sanitarium, like we haven't really had too many per se experiences there, mm-hmm. but it's still very fun to just go there.
Yeah, and there's a creepy vibe, yeah, too, for
just
sure.
Just walk through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times have we been there now?
Twice. It feels like longer, though.
It feels like more than three.
I know, yeah. Why is that? It's calling back to us, isn't it?
Yes.
Come back. We're supposed to go monthly, right? I mean,
we've gone through it completely twice, mm-hmm. and it's still interesting going through and seeing everything.
Yeah. The one thing I wanted to say is that, like I said, and I know Todd would agree with us, that we definitely have to put this on our list of places to go. And Todd, in the midst of recording this, said to tell the creepies hello. He misses them, and he's having a great time down in Florida, he and his family. So he says hello.
He's so with us.
He is with spirit. Us. Oh, spooky, right? Like I said, this has been a fun discussion, a little different. I mean, not a lot of places we talk about we've never been before, but this place, just looking at the pictures, you feel very reminiscent of some of the places that we've been in. And so, like I said, that makes it even more alluring, intriguing to want to go to.
One thing that I found interesting about this place is it's notably like the cousin of Waverly,
mm-hmm.
and it's a huge place, a lot of history, a lot of death, but it was very hard to find anything on it.
Yeah, it does. It's not as elaborated on as a lot of these places.
Yes.
And the story, there are very repetitive stories for sure on it. That's why we need to go investigate and have our own stories, right?
Yeah,
that we can publish.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Creepies, for listening to this discussion. So I will turn it over to myself for a middle-aged moment. I know that I've been doing a lot of middle-aged dark sides, so I'm trying to get back over to the light side to a degree. Even with the dark sides, I still try to expose the light through that and a lot of the messages. So I'm going with a little REO Speedwagon, baby, and roll with the changes. So
ooh.
I don't think I've ever used this one. I'm pretty sure I have not. This is my go-to. This picks me up when I listen to it, so I love me a little REO Speedwagon. But as soon as you are able, woman, I am willing to make the break we are on the brink of. My cup is on the table. Our love is spilling, waiting here for you to take and drink of. So if you're tired of the same old story, oh, turn some pages. I'll be here when you are ready to roll with the changes. Yeah, what is it? Yeah, ooh. I knew it had to happen. felt the tables turning. This is a hard one not to sing. Oh, yeah. Got me through my darkest hour. I heard the thunder clapping. My goodness. Felt the desert burning until you poured on me like a sweet sun shower. So if you're tired of the same old story, oh, turn some pages. I'll be here when you are ready to roll with the changes. So if you're tired of the same old story, oh, baby, turn some pages. I'll be here when you are ready to roll with the changes. Baby, roll with the changes. Oh, you know you got to, right? Keep on rolling. Keep on rolling. Oh, keep on rolling. So it goes, and I love how it goes into that. Again, I'd sing it if I could or would or should. But and it's, of course, it ends with the keep on rolling. Keep on rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Classic. So anyway,
you know, I know this is more of a, there's a love story type feel, you know, of kind of going through the changes of a love story, right? And the ups and downs in a the love between two people. But it is and also just life in general, you know. Mm-hmm. Just you got to keep rolling with those changes. I feel this from a relationship standpoint. I know it's one of those things they don't tell you when you get into a marriage or a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and that you got to constantly fall in love and you got to find that love. But I think it's more than just romantic love. It's also, you know, the love of yourself, the love with your children, your friends, your family, all those kind of things. And then just recreating yourself throughout life. So I love this the energy behind the song by REO Speedwagon is fantastic. Mm. Again, it does play on the radio every once in a while, but I do go to it and actually put it on my playlist to listen to because it jazzes me up and I like that. I like the energy behind it. So if you have never heard of it, certainly go listen to it, but I'm sure a fair amount of you have heard it before. So yeah. Hopefully it's playing in your ears now, right?
Who hasn't heard REO Speedwagon not songs?
Some youngins probably out there, but yeah, go listen to it. Expose yourself to it. If you have not, you will not be sorry.
I guess this is my part.
You get the next
because
part.
My name is in front of it.
Then your assumption is correct.
So this is the second announcements. Follow us on our social media accounts. We are on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. Mako is with two A's.
Nicely done.
Catch our weekly Tuesday Terror videos on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And I have yet to ever do one.
I've been thinking about that. It's going to be amazing when you do, though. It's coming, right?
We'll see. We are on all podcast listening apps. Mm-hmm. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave a review if the app allows. Share the podcast with friends, family, coworkers, and anyone else you can think of. We sell merch of all kinds, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us, get your name mentioned and or your business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows,
etc.
Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information.
I'm so excited that you kind of stumbled along that because it throws me every time.
Yeah, it took me a second for LS. Like,
la, 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 la. Yep. So
that makes me think of a motor.
Yeah, right?
LS exactly. Motor.
Uh-huh, yeah. So live shows. I've trained myself. Well, now I'm going to be out of practice now, but we'll see. I'll get back into it. So since you did that part, I will turn it over for, what do you got for us, Nate, for your rap?
I don't know, some vanilla ice rapping. I don't know.
ice, baby. It's Minnesota.
Yeah. Right. Ice cold.
Ice cold.
Don't
right.
go there in the winter. Yeah, and good. That is a rap.
Nice. I like it. All right, well, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 119 and our discussion on No Pimming Sanatorium. I wonder if Todd would have been able to say it correctly. So until next time.
No Pimming Way, man.
No Pimming Way. There you go. There's your second rap. I like it. That's awesome. So until next time, Nate is your sound engineer, award-winning sound engineer, right? We are your host, Todd and Sean, without the Todd, and we are middle-aged and creeped out.
Keep it creepy.